Shishirada Krishna Gopagopina Cham Kundarada Kundi Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanande Vrihadevo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations, Text 32, which is written in the lower portion of the board. But I don't know how legible it is. Gopair makhe pratiyate vraja viplavaya. Deve bibarshati pashun kripayari rakshu.
Deve bibarshati pashun kripayari rakshu.
Darcho chilandrami vasapta dinani sapta.
Darcho chilandrami vasapta dinani sapta.
Varsho mahindram anagai kakare salilam.
Varsho mahindram anagai kakare salilam.
Gopai,
by the cowherd men,
Makhe, in offering a sacrifice to the King of Heaven, Pratihate, being hampered, Vraja Viplavaya, for devastating the whole existence of Vrajabhumi, the land of Krishna's pastime. Deve, by the King of Heaven, Abhivarshati, having poured down heavy rain. Pashun, the animals. Kripaya, by causeless mercy upon them. Virakshu, desired to protect them. Tarta, held up. Uchilindram, uprooted as an umbrella. Eva, exactly like that. Saptadinani, continuously for 7 days. Saptavarsha, although he was only 7 years old. Mahindram, the Govardhan Hill. Anaga, without being tired. Ek khare.
Ek khare.
In one hand only.
In one hand only.
Salilam.
Salilam.
Playfully.
Playfully.
Translation. When the cowherd men of Vrindavan, under instruction of Krishna, stop offering sacrifice to the heavenly king, Indra, the whole tract of land known as Braja was threatened with being washed away by constant heavy rains for 7 days. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Braja, held up the hill known as Govardhan with one hand only, although he was only 7 years old. He did this to protect the animals from the onslaught of water. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Children play with an umbrella, generally known as a frog's umbrella. And Lord Krishna, when he was only 7 years old, could snatch the great hill known as the Govardhan Parvat at Vrindavan and hold it for 7 days continuously with one hand, just to protect the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, the heavenly king, who had been denied sacrificial offerings by the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. So Lord Krishna was playing the part of a young boy of the age of 7 years. And here the verse in the Bhagavatam says, Salilam, playfully, just like young boys play with frogs' umbrellas, which I suppose refers to mushrooms that are in the shape of umbrellas that frogs can take shelter under. So just as a small boy would pick up a little frog's umbrella and play with it, Lord Krishna picked up the hill known as Govardhan and held it like an umbrella to give shelter to the residents of Vrindavan from the torrential rains sent by Indra. Factually, there is no need of offering sacrifices to the demigods for their services if one is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sacrifice is recommended in the Vedic literature for the satisfaction of the demigods are a sort of inducement to the sacrificers to realize the existence of higher authorities. The demigods are engaged by the Lord as controlling deities of material affairs. And according to the Bhagavad Gita, when a demigod is worshipped, the process is accepted as the indirect method for worshiping the Supreme Lord. But when the Supreme Lord is worshipped directly, there is no need of worshipping the demigods or offering them sacrifices, as recommended in particular circumstances. Lord Krishna therefore advised the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi not to offer any sacrifices to the heavenly king, Indra. So many of you know the story that Nanda Maharaj and the other men of Vrindavan were collecting the paraphernalia to perform the Indra Yajna. And when the child Krishna saw the men so engaged, he asked his father, "Dear father, please tell me what is the purpose for which you are gathering the paraphernalia? Is there any profit to be gained from such performance, or is it simply customary?" So Srila Prabhupada explains the implication of the inquiry of Lord Krishna. And the implication is that we should not simply engage in rituals because our parents or grandparents did so without any gain. Sometimes people, especially born in Hindu families, may have had parents or grandparents that worshiped demigods. But here Lord Krishna is suggesting that even though one's forefathers may have worshiped demigods, there's no need to worship them. And therefore Krishna actually advised the residents of Vrindavan not to perform the sacrifice to King Indra. And in general, we should not engage in ritualistic performances without any result. There should be some positive benefit from our activities, as there is with devotional service, which, according to Bhagavad Gita and to practical experience, is joyfully performed. So the Bhagavad Gita also explains that worship, which is offered to demigods, is actually meant for Lord Krishna, but it is a vidhi purvakam. It is offered indirectly, or one could even say improperly, to the demigods. And therefore Lord Krishna, by his own example, showed us that we need not worship the demigods. Now the question may be raised, if there's no need to worship demigods, why are sacrifices to demigods recommended in the Vedas? And the answer is that although there's no need to worship the demigods when we worship the Supreme Lord, but the fact is that the demigods are superior to ordinary human beings. They are entrusted with the management of different affairs within the universe. And therefore Srila Prabhupada has compared the demigods to ministers in the cabinet of a king. And of course Lord Krishna himself is the king. So the ministers of the king are actually servants of the king, and they are obliged to do the work as ordered by the king. So if we satisfy the king, we don't need to satisfy the demigods separately. If the king wants to grant some favor to us, the ministers are obliged to execute the king's orders. And even if we approach some minister for some favor, if the king is against it, then the minister has no authority or power to grant it. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada has given the example that if you pay your taxes to the central government, you don't have to go separately to the different officers to bribe them. You've already paid your taxes, and as a citizen, you're entitled to the benefits. And by paying your taxes to the central government, the taxes are automatically distributed among the different government departments. You don't have to pay separately to every department. So here, Lord Krishna is enacting the principles of Bhagavad Gita from the role of a small child, and stopping the worship of Indra, the demigod, and ordering that the paraphernalia be used for the worship of Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins and the cows. Because Govardhan Hill is actually Krishna himself. It is later revealed in the Govardhan Lila that although Krishna was playing the part of a small boy of 7 years, and accompanying the Brijavasis around Govardhan Hill, but he also expanded himself into a gigantic form as Krishna, which existed independently during the pastime. And the gigantic form of Krishna was considered to be identical with Govardhan Hill. Lord Krishna therefore advised the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi not to offer any sacrifices to the heavenly king Indra. But Indra, not knowing the position of Lord Krishna in Vrajabhumi, became angry at the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi and tried to avenge what he considered to be their offense to him. And thus he ordered the Samvartaka cloud, which is the cloud used at the time of devastation to inundate the universe. So we can imagine, here's little cowherd community in Vraja, and King Indra was so blinded by pride that he summoned the Samvartaka cloud, which is used to inundate the universe at the time of devastation and fill up the universe with water, on this little community of cowherd men and ladies and cows and calves. But competent as the Lord was, he saved the inhabitants and animals of Vrajabhumi by his personal energy and proved definitely that anyone directly engaged as a devotee of the Supreme Lord need not satisfy any other demigod, however great, even to the level of Brahma or Shiva. So, there's one verse in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that by feeding food into the stomach, all the different limbs of the body are automatically nourished. And by pouring water on the root of a tree, all the branches and leaves of the tree are automatically watered. So, by rendering service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, all the demigods and other living entities are automatically served and satisfied. But here, Indra, because of his false pride, was not satisfied when Govardhan Hill was worshipped by the paraphernalia, because he was blinded by ignorance. He could not understand that the little cowherd boy was his supreme lord and master. And he could not understand, certainly, that Govardhan Hill was the same lord. And so he felt offended and sent rain. And the scriptures describe that Krishna thought for a moment, maybe he should just kill Indra. But then he decided, no. He should bestow mercy upon him and crush his false pride and bring him back to his original position of service to Krishna. And so Krishna playfully lifted up the Govardhan Hill. If any of you have been to Vrindavan, you know that the Govardhan Hill is quite long, at least 22 kilometers. And it's not a toy for an ordinary person, but it was like a toy for Lord Krishna. So he lifted the Govardhan Hill and held it up with the tip of the little finger of his left hand. And the scriptures say that Krishna wanted to prove that he could defeat the mighty power of Indra with the little finger, the tip of the little finger of his left hand. That was all he needed to dispose of the King of Heaven. So, eventually, after 7 days, Indra came to his senses and he realized that he was the one who had committed the offense, not the Vrajavasis. And so he withdrew the Samvartaka cloud and he came to Vrajabhumi to beg for forgiveness from Lord Krishna. And he, in turn, worshipped Lord Krishna. So, as part of the worship of Govardhan Hill, Lord Krishna ordered the Vrajavasis to prepare all sorts of food preparations, which they did, and they offered them to Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill ate them all. So later in the day we'll be having the celebration where we offer, as the Vrajavasis did, we'll offer all sorts of preparations to Govardhan Hill. And he will eat them all. But out of his kindness, he will again return them to us to honor as Mahaprasad. Thus this incident definitely proved, without a doubt, that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he was so in all circumstances, as a child on the lap of his mother, as a boy of 7 years of age, and as an old man of 125 years of age. In either case, he was never on the level of the ordinary man. And even in his advanced age, he appeared like a young boy of 16 years. These are the particular features of the transcendental body of the Lord. So there are impersonalists who try by yoga or meditation to become God. But Krishna is not that kind of God. He didn't have to become God by practicing yoga or meditation. He was always God. From the time of his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa, when he manifested his four-armed form as Vishnu, he was God. When he was 3 months old, playing as a baby, he killed the great demoness, Putana. So he was God then. He was God when he was 7 years old and lifted Govardhan Hill. And he was God when he was 125 years old. By material calculation, when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he was a great-grandfather, and he was more than 100 years old by material calculation. But because his spiritual body doesn't age, it appears to mature up to the appearance of 16 years of age. But the body of Krishna is spiritual, and it is not subject to disease, old age, or death, like ordinary conditioned souls who have material bodies. So, after Krishna's body matured to the age where it appeared to be 16 years, like a 16-year-old, it never grew older. So that proves that Krishna had a spiritual body. We never see a picture of Krishna as an old man with gray hair and wrinkles and walking with a cane. He's always like a beautiful young man. I'll just add one more note here. As we know from Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhanam Dinashaya Chitushkritam, that he appears